Greetings, Saints of God. Today we have outcome-based education. We have outcome-based religion. Let's talk about outcome-based damnation. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Matthew 23:33. The floodgates of rebellion are opened wide. Take a good look. The broad way is clogged with those whose way seemeth right. Proverbs 14:12. Yet the traffic moves quite smoothly toward the gates of hell. The seemingly never-ending procession to damnation proceeds without interruption, in silence, and oblivious to the warning put forth by the Lord. The curtain has risen to reveal mankind virtually besting the worst that Sodom had become. The last act has begun in this human, and most significantly this spiritual tragedy, and all hell now strides confidently arm in arm with men and women, directing their crooked paths and reassuring the living dead that they are beautiful and wonderful, and a God of love smiles down upon them as they live their cursed spiritual debauchery to its fullest. The lie has come to the fore. It is a flood now. The elect have become prey, battered, buffeted, isolated, worn out, and reviled by multitudes of demon-possessed Christians who see those of the way as mortal enemies. They see through the eyes of their father, Satan. They know our spirits well. Did our Lord not say this would be the case in the last days? The gutter has indeed come to power. The hearts and minds of men and women have become backed-up sewers from which pour forth the filth of ungodly abominations across the spectrum. Turn on your TV, your window to hell, and have a look. Listen to it on your radios. Bump into it on the streets, where you work, where you shop, where you party. As we have lowered the standards of education for our children and now turn lazy, self-serving vessels out upon our society, we have begun, in earnest, to reap the bitter reward of outcome-based education. Our children have become trained in dependency on someone else for their needs. They are no longer taught to be accountable for their actions. They have been taught excuses, not accountability. They've grown to become godless, mindless hunters preying upon society and each other, a bane of righteous folk. Legions they are, legions prepared for a holy slaughter. Our grown children have moved into leadership of this society on all levels now, and soundly reflect their parents' lack of morality, decency, responsibility, and godly principles. We have handed our children over to captivity and ruin. Outcome-based education teaches our children to let someone else put their hand to the plow. Better yet, it teaches them to go a row and then quit. But you make the grade no matter the test scores, because you tried. Absolutes, folks, absolutes. These do not exist in this outcome-based world. How then can this generation hope to understand the absolutes of God? It's impossible. Does anyone get the impression of chaff here? Manhood is being systematically bred out of our young men. We have become a race of feminized, lazy cowards. We breed base predators today, not responsible citizens. It's always someone else's fault, too, isn't it? It's just the way we are. We are down the river as a nation. Face that, too. The worst is yet to come. We are taught that there is always another way, smoother sailing, cheap and easy way to get through. You know, no sweat, go around, no tears, no fuss, no muss, no accountability. Doesn't this sound a lot like our religion today? Well, let's cut to the chase then. Jeremiah 14:10, thus saith the Lord unto his people, thus they have loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet, therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. A little taste of judgment? You got it right. There are deadly consequences for making one's own way apart from that which Jesus Christ established as the only way to salvation and life. They are called robbers by Jesus himself, John 10:1. They effectively resist God by reason of their fear and weakness in the face of self-examination. They fall toward hell as a result of their own church-assisted spiritual suicide. This is spiritual eugenics on a grand scale. Souls are being euthanized out there, folks, every Sunday. Our religion has fallen victim to the same outcome-based devilry. We have wandered. A new generation of Christian has arisen from the classroom of the school of the fast and easy. A new generation with bellies bloated on lust and contention and strife and pride and avarice, ever learning, never coming to the knowledge of the Spirit. These now consume each other as they covet their way into hell, into the hell that they've been deluded into believing they'll avoid because of the lie of show up as you are, pray a prayer, take a walk, and continue as you were. Wrong. Yeah, one must admit that this is so much easier than take up your cross, Matthew 16:24. You know, hang yourself upon it. Die to the flesh, Colossians 3:5. Agonize to enter into life, Luke 13:24. Give up the world, 2 Corinthians 6:14, James 4:4. Suffer persecution for the true faith, Romans 8:17. Or lose your life that you may have true life, Matthew 16:25. Now, the former is much easier than this stuff. Forget the latter. Jesus did it all for us, right? Jesus is the way to life, but my Bible says we must walk the way ourselves. Showing up means nothing. Entering at the straight gate does. And does Jesus enter in, or do we? Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. How much doctrine is out there today that is totally contrary to the Bible, the Word of God? Millions of flavors out there, folks. It's got to be frightening to some of us who have got our heads on straight and our spirits right with the Lord. It's got to be frightening. Do we live this doctrine? Do we live our beliefs? Oh, no, please. We can't consider our wonderful fat lives as being in opposition to God, a stumbling block in front of God, barring the way to true surrender and fellowship with the suffering of Christ as he told us we would suffer if we would take up our crosses and follow him. No, heavens no. We couldn't possibly consider living like Jesus and loving Father God like Jesus did. We'd have to get around that counting the cost thing. And a lot of us have done just that, and we've slid into complacency and unbelief. I call you cowards. I call you hypocrites. Here we go again, leaving it up to someone else to do our walking and suffering for us. The Bible tells us we walk and suffer as Christ, or we receive darkness as a reward. Well, damnation is a wide door, folks. The quick and the dead enter here. Those that go around, circumvent, have somebody else do it for them. Quick believe, and I can go on living as the dog or the cat that I am. You know, the patient overcomers who work out their own salvation in fear and trembling enter into life. Yeah, but we do love company, don't we? We choose our companions like we choose our flavors of faith. I see few who have the stomach to go it alone on that narrow way as Jesus did. Tough stuff, folks, but we start alone and we finish alone. I don't care how many kids you got, how many wives or marriages you've had. I don't care what you do. You start alone and you finish alone. Best you fill in all those gaps in between properly. What will be the outcome of your fear, huh? What will be the outcome of your indecision? Abandon hope, all who enter in at the wide gate. 1 Timothy 5:12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Also read Revelation 2:4. Sadly, the same multitudes have chosen another way to follow. And they've had their short roots extend down into stony ground, and they've had their gifts smothered and choked out by the thorns and cares of this life. They build churches around their faith. They stuff pews around their faith. They form Christian basketball teams and baseball teams around their faith. They party just like the world. Now read Matthew 13:22. Multitudes of those that have been changed by grace and relying solely upon Scripture taken far out of context by wolves in the pulpits have been deluded into believing that a belief and a prayer is all that is required for salvation, and they can yet remain in the throes of every sin Jesus Christ came to purge them of in order that they would become holy, spotless, and without blemish before God. Well, folks, God has given them up. 2 Thessalonians 2:11. There is no relief when strong delusion is sent upon those who do not desire or love the truth. These folks, changed by grace, have assumed a facade of godliness and have become filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1:29-32. This, folks, is the fellowship within and without the churches today. These are the Christians of today. Fellowship with darkness, accord with Belial. No matter if you straddle the fence now, the time fast approaches when that fence will rip you in half with no chance of true life to be had. But don't worry. You'll be put back together into a new glorified body in order that you may suffer to the fullest in the lake of fire. All your parts will eventually end up there if you've chosen another but the straight gate by which to enter. No, I'm not making light of this. Christianity is not a spectator sport, kids. It's life or death. And you aren't taking your walk seriously. We have chosen our flesh over the humility of Jesus Christ, emptied to serve God and us. We have chosen another gospel, a gospel of compromise, a gospel of death. We had once seen the light and have given up the narrow way, opting instead for the world, flesh, devil, and cheap salvation. And of these who have chosen to walk a different, easier path? Well, my Bible says this. It is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good work of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Hebrews 6:4-6. These are walking dead. They have been given up. Face it. Now we can't reach them. We cannot reach the contaminated church of the scribes and Pharisees any longer. They have changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Romans 1:25. This is the outcome of compromise, delusion, and damnation. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me, destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. Hey, pastors and prophets, read Hosea 7:13 very often. Despite the raging storm outside, despite the persecution and loneliness which accompanies every elect saint of God on their journey with Jesus Christ to life, one fact is in evidence. God will judge the ungodly and sinner as sure as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Job 26:6 says, "Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering." What does that tell you of this loving God that multitudes believe couldn't possibly be a God of wrath? Damnation doesn't slumber, folks. Even now we see judgment. As the churches and the powers continue in their delusion, they cannot see their fate, the fate they themselves have wandered into by virtue of their lazy unbelief. God distributes sorrows in his anger. Job 21:17. The backsliding elect had best keep this God, author and finisher of their faith, in perspective. The backslider may well see his destruction. The backslider may well drink of the wrath of the Almighty. Job 21:20. What does God say to these folks? These backsliders, those that have turned away from the faith, those who have chosen another way? Glad you asked. God says, "I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Proverbs 1:26-28. Now that's a cheery thought, isn't it? Well, don't worry, aspiring spiritual adulterers and adulteresses. Plans are in the works to rid the planet of the older, more complete versions of the Bible as well. Also, those who preach the truth from it. So hang in there. You'll have some real room to seal your damnation, but good. But you will never tell God, when you face him at that throne, that you weren't warned. Judgment will come full and hard, and he will not hear the screams for mercy. "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Isaiah 13:6. That's another cheery thought, isn't it? "I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course, as the horse rusheth into battle." Jeremiah 8:6. "The wicked are reserved for the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath." Job 21:30. Nope. I'm not going to make an altar call here, folks. I'm not going to tell you to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I will not tell you to pray a prayer and write me for a free booklet. Not in a billion eternities. You are on your own. I will pray for you. We know the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Romans 13:11. I will tell you to listen to your heart and your spirit and answer the call of God that draws you to the only door and name by which you can be saved, Jesus Christ the Lord. John 6:44 makes it crystal clear that none of us have the power to save anyone. Only God will call, and he's calling. And if you hear him, answer him. And when you answer him, get on your face and count the cost of following his Son to eternal life. Then you're going to have to go the distance alone, pretty much. No church is going to do this for you. No prayer is going to save you. A soul with complete repentance of sin, with godly sorrow, is the only thing God recognizes as genuine and worthy of receiving his gift of faith, his salvation, 2 Corinthians 7:10. But it is not over then, not by a long shot. We must lay hold of the kingdom of God ourselves. 1 Timothy 6:12, 1 Timothy 6:19, Hebrews 6:18. Outcome-based religion teaches us to let someone else do this for us as we sit in the pews. We shall never reach life if we do not strive to reach it. Sorry, there's no free rides. Your outcome is up to you. Remember that. Abraham picked up his tents and followed in pursuit of God's promises obediently. He did not sit idly by expecting them to come to him. And we have to do the same. But all the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Proverbs 2:22. I will tell you, backsliders, that as long as you are still capable of being convicted of your error, your weakness, or complacency, there is enough time to repent and get back on the way. Proverbs 10:29 states that the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Plain and simple, black and white, no diapracs, absolutes all the way. You fool around with the world, and you're going to get dirty. You're going to get dead. God's way is strength through the trials. Man's way is no trials at all, and a way around whatever might come. To those of you still on the fence about your portion in this world, I couldn't put it better than Micah did in chapter 2, verse 10. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest. Micah saying this life. The Father is saying through Micah, this life. Because it is polluted, it shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Think of Lot. You know, Sodom was polluting him and his family. Come out, depart. It's not your rest. It's filthy. The ways of the world are filthy. Get away from the world. There are still a few. There are still a few getting through by that road, the narrow one. Make for that narrow way. Make for that life. Get out of the churches. Get out of the world already. Repent from the depths of your souls and turn from your sins. Time is short, eternity is long, and it's still your choice. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. Isaiah 1:28. When we've turned from good doctrine, sound doctrine, haven't we forsaken the Lord? What happens to them that forsake the Lord? They shall be consumed. Fear and trembling, folks. Read your Bible. Create some fear and trembling inside of you to take a good look at your own salvation, to look at what you've made of it. You're the one who makes your way. As with outcome-based education, outcome-based religion tells us that we tried, we showed up, therefore we can graduate a third-rate failure and bring our excuses before God. Can we achieve heaven with this attitude? We tried to follow you, Jesus. We showed up at church last Sunday, Jesus. We believe in you, just like the devils, James 2:19. Well, we do not enter into life with one foot in the worldly grave. Both feet on that narrow way, repentant, contrite, humble, stripped, crucified. You get there that way, folks. You don't drag anything with you. I don't hear the sounds of repentance across the land. I only hear fashionable lies and the sorrow of the world. If you're hearing God's Spirit, return to Him, you backsliders. Answer His call to repentance. Remember the dust you were fashioned from, the dust you'll return to, Ecclesiastes 3:20 and Ecclesiastes 12:7. Even our spirits are not our own. Indeed, God's love is salvation, but it is also a consuming fire. Deuteronomy 4:24, Deuteronomy 9:3. Remember that. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. God is not mocked. Rend your heart, not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth Him of the evil. Joel 2:13. Pick up your cross. Go the distance.